Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, to once again be in your house of God, to worship you in spirit and truth. So, Father, we pray that we would understand better the subject of Revelation as we continue in this study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we will continue on this thought of Revelation this morning that we have looked at for the past 4 weeks now. But this morning, we're going to read from Brother Bram's sermon, Who is This Melchizedek?, where he said, paragraph 35, I said it's by revelation, and he said, I can't accept revelation. And I said, well, then there's no way of God to ever get to you, because it's hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and revealed, that's revealed or revelation, revealed to babes such as will accept it and learn. That's what the scripture teaches, Luke 21 and Matthew 11, 25. Jesus spoke in Isaiah 54, 13, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And I said, there's no way for God to get to you. You close yourself off from him. The whole Bible is the revelation of God. The whole church is built upon the revelation of God. And I do not want you to ever forget that revelation is not a mental knowledge. It is not. It is an experiential knowledge. Even our dictionary says it is the manifestation of divine will or truth. Revelation, the Latin word revelatio, is a translation of the Greek word apocalypse, which means to remove a veil so that something can be seen. So it speaks of a disclosure, a manifestation, or an unveiling. So there is an action involved. There is a manifestation involved. There's no way to God only by revelation. To whom the Son will reveal him, revelation, everything is revelation. So to not accept the revelation, then you're just a cold theologian, and there's no hope for you. Now, many people read the same Bible as you do, but it is not revealed to them. And unless they receive the true revelation of it, it means nothing to them because it is not revealed and they cannot accept the literal translation of the scriptures. The entire Bible is the inspired word of God, but when you show them how certain portions have been manifested in this day, they, for some reason, cannot accept that portion of the scripture for this hour. Now, I'm sure most of you have seen movies or videos, you know, Christian movies that talk about the rapture, you know, and talk about certain events, and they have no clue what they're saying. So you know you're wasting your time, honestly. But you know, it is interesting to see how they're thinking out there, you know. And but because they don't understand the scripture, because they have no revelation, then they make up their own ideas and push it forth as being true. Well, actually, most people, most Bible readers, are nothing more than intellectuals. And they have laid aside the manifested word for traditions and creeds. And I will prove this by the word this morning. See, there's about 1.5 billion people that are supposedly Christian. And about 1.5 that are supposedly Muslim. And what's the difference between them? I mean, if it's by revelation only that you approach God and can be received by God, then intellectually, they're both intellectuals, and so are the Hindus. They're all the doctors and lawyers and, you know. So what we have in this world is a very, very lost world. Brother Bram called them cannon fodder. And that's kind of a tough term, but, you know, it's a true term because honestly, they're going to be left for the annihilation. And it's just kind of sad because we know many people out there who don't have any revelation. So Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that comes to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. notice, unto our opinions, values, and judgments. So he called it the hidden wisdom. That means it has always been there, but it is written in such a way that it could go completely over the heads of those who read it, so it's hidden. You think if God wants to hide something, he doesn't know how to do it? And then how he reveals it, he doesn't have a plan to do that? I mean, so we know that God doesn't interpret this his word until he brings it to pass, and until the appointed time for it is to be revealed, for that which is to be revealed takes place. Then it would be revealed only to those who were ordained to receive it, such as prophets and those people who believe those prophets. Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, but who can prophesy? That is the prophets, and the rest of the elect are ordained to believe what has been revealed by those prophets. Acts 13:48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. So we need revelation. However, you and I need to believe the prophets to get that revelation. You understand? The revelation is revealed to the prophet through a vision or whatever, but you and I don't have that, so we have to go to where they already said what it is. Okay? So the Apostle Paul lets us know that God's word is revealed only to those who are in the election. You see, people can think, well, oh, this is revealed to me, and it's just an intellectual conception. How do you really know that something's revealed to you? Because God's prophet said it. That's all you got. That's why when I preach, you got red and blue and a little black, because I don't have anything to reveal. I don't have anything, but I can say what he said, his prophet said, or his Bible says. Yeah. So the Apostle Paul lets us know that God's word is revealed only to those who are in the election, and they are only the ones who can believe it when it comes to pass. This is exactly what Jesus said. So you see, we have people like Daniel who God gave visions to. He spoke those visions to. But none of us have a clue what they meant until God's prophet comes along and says, this means this and this means this. You see, you've got all kinds of videos on YouTube where they talk about Daniel's visions and they haven't even got a clue. Now, some of them get a little bit right, but they get most of it wrong. All right? So how do you really know? Because God's prophet says so. So look at the Apostle Paul's words in this next couple of scriptures. In Romans 16:25, he says, now, to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest by the scriptures of the prophet, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So we see, he says, to those who are established, which means settled, when we have done all we can do, Paul said, then we just simply stand, right? When we have done all we can do to stand, we just simply stand. So when you see it in the scriptures, which are written by the prophets, that's what Paul said, and God manifests it to us, brings it to pass. So then when that happens, all we have to do is watch. That's our part, all right? In other words, those that watch and pray. Then when the two parts are lined up, part one, it is written by the prophets. Part two, we read and believe what the prophets have said. Then three, we wait for the manifestation. And when that happens, we have the interpretation of the word of God. That's just as simple as that. So he laid out exactly what we should do. I'm just going to read that again so we can see it. Okay. Now to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret from the world, but now is made manifest. In other words, God bring it to pass. And by the scriptures of the prophets, in other words, it's manifest God manifested by bringing it to pass, and the prophet said what it was, and so now you've got this portion and this portion, and now you've got it, okay? That's what he's saying. So then when the two parts are lined up, okay, and he laid out exactly what we should do. So all you have to do is read what the prophet said and wait for God to bring it to pass. Don't try in your minds to figure out how God will bring it to pass. Just believe that he will. You see, because I get a lot of questions and people are always asking me things that haven't come to pass yet, and I have no clue. I can't tell them. I can only say, look at the pattern. All right? Then upon proper waiting on God to act, he will manifest that portion of his word. Like Jesus had to wait on God to show him a vision before he acted it out. But the rest of God's elect do not have to have a vision like the prophets and the Son of God did, because we have his book of visions, which is what the prophets wrote and spoke. It is already wrote down for us to read and to believe. That is what the Apostle Paul told us in Romans 16. Now Matthew 11:27 says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So it is only given for a certain group to know, and all others will not know, no matter how much they hear. And no matter how much we think that a certain date will bring on the second coming, we don't know, because he said, no man knoweth the hour nor the day, not even the Son. So Jesus doesn't even know when he's coming. He'll come when God tells him to come, okay? Now that is why I believe we have a mixed multitude who claim to be Christian, and the majority of them are not ordained to know nor to understand this message, which is the Bible. Mark 4:10 says, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. So certain people were given to know. But unto them that are on the outside, all these things were done in parables, that in order that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Remember, Brother Branham said, we speak the message in such a way as to cause some to ponder over it, others to go out, you see. And so we're doing that purposely. Now, not that we don't like those people, but we love the children of God and they will understand, okay? Now here we have Jesus telling us that he purposely spoke to the people in parables for the sole purpose of saying the things ordained to be received by those on the inside, but also that those on the outside might not understand the hidden meanings. These things pertain to our glory. They are given for our glory and not for others. And the word glory, of course, is the word doxa, which means the assessing opinion and values of God, okay? A judgment of God. Therefore, it was God's intention for us to receive his mindset, but it was ordained for only those of his choosing, not for anyone else. Brother Bram said Revelation is like a love letter he gets from his wife, but when his wife writes to him while he's overseas, she might mention something to him that others who do not know their personal relationship, and they might read it and miss completely the entire meaning. That was the way he explained Revelation. From hearing him, he said, a man today is constrained by the Holy Ghost to come and love him and serve him, for he's seeking such to do that. God is looking for someone who will stand out on the front line with love, not with no education. I'm not trying to support my ignorance, but I am trying to say that it doesn't take scholarship. What's that? Intellectualism. It takes a surrendered heart that God can make love to. You don't know the Bible intellectually, I add that, half as good as the devil does. So what good would it do to you? Someone said not long ago, said, Brother Bram, you are all mixed up. you ought to teach it this way. And I said, sir, I may not know the word very well, but I know the author real well. Not to know his word is life, but to know him is life. To know Christ is life. Know him in a personal experience. The word opens up to you a new look to you. Now, my wife, the Bible is a love letter. My wife writes me, and I love my wife, and she writes me a love letter and says, Billy, I was setting down the children tonight and so forth, and I can see what's on the paper, but I love her and she loves me. And it's such a connection, I can read between the lines. I know what she's saying, for it's a love affair. In her words, if her word is projecting to me, and if the word knowing, we love each other so we can read between the lines. Oh, I'm so happy that Christ said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast hid this from the seminary, the wise and prudent, and has revealed to babes such as would learn. And from nurse from the mother, from the word. It's a love letter. You read between the lines. There's where you find it. It's not a law, not a sound. It's a love of a kind Heavenly Father who loves. Now, that is why I told the ministers in Congo, DRC, when they were reading their Bibles, they were reading their Bibles like a book, instead of reading it one verse at a time and then stopping to ask God what he meant. Now, I covered the doctrine in those 4 days of meetings, but when it was over, two ministers came to me and said, we learned much these past weeks, but the most important thing that we learned is how to read our Bibles. The Word of God has many hidden secrets, which God purposely kept hidden until a certain time he had ordained for it to become manifested to us. Therefore, we know that just to read it intellectually and will not teach you what it is. See, they were just reading it, like I said. I heard a guy say one time, well, I've read the Bible 3 times, and he didn't understand a thing in it. How many of you have ever sat down and read a book for school and you didn't even understand what you're reading? Okay, same thing. Therefore, we know that just to read it intellectually will not teach you what's there. It takes revelation. It takes a manifestation of divine will and truth. Jesus said in Matthew 11:25, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. So don't make yourself anything other than a babe when God reveals his word to you. It does not set you up as a big shot. It simply means that you are one of his children. You are blessed, but still considered a babe. You know, I've seen too many people, they get a little notion that they come into this message and they think, well, I know more than the Baptist, so I'm going to start preaching. It doesn't call you to preach. And they get a big highfalutin idea in their head that they're going to teach everybody else and they don't know a thing themselves. You got to be humble, brother, sister, like children. Remember he said, if you be like these children, then you can come in, okay? So don't make yourself anything other than a babe when God reveals his word to you. It's not set up. It's not to set you up as a big shot. It's simply you are his children. He is our father, okay? And we're dependent on him for everything. I still consider my 3 daughters as my babies, even though they are older now and capable of having their own children. But to know God considers us one of his babes is good enough for me. Why? Because you take more care of a babe than you do of a grown-up child. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So he's being exclusive here. So there is a selection, an election on his part. Brother Bram said, it's by revelation, and he said, I can't accept revelation. I said, well, then there's no way for God to ever get to you, because it's hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent and revealed to babes. Revealed, revelation, revealed to babes such as will learn. Notice the key there, will learn. John 6:44 tells us, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me will draw him, and I will raise him up to the last days, and it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So hearing is not enough. Listening to tapes is not enough. You must hear it, recognize it, and act upon the Word of God, or the Word of truth, when you hear it. That means you must learn. Therefore, God promised that He would send the Spirit of wisdom into the church to teach the church. You know, I used to give tests in this church, and I should probably start again, because if you don't get it right the first time, then maybe the second time I give you the test, you'll get it right. In other words, it'll cause you to start thinking. Now, we go to school to learn. We go to school to be taught, and then we expect to learn. Now, some kids just sit in class and they don't learn. They just kind of spend their time daydreaming and doing whatever. And, of course, then they get out and they can't get a job and they can't, they can't go through life as a victor. They go through life as a loser. So, but learning is not a once per week activity. It takes every day. I hope your kids are listening. You might go to school to learn, but you are given homework, so that through practice, your learning becomes natural to you. In other words, in second grade, I give you a second grade test. I don't expect you to understand a ninth grade or 12th grade test. But when you are in 12th grade, I do expect you to know your second grade, your third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, and eighth, and ninth, and 10th grade, and 11th and 12th grade material. So you're going to learn exponentially, all right? Now, I had a sister who used to come to church, and she told me, "All I know about God, I learned from you in church. My parents never taught me or talked to me about Him. I was stunned to know that these parents, they believed, they said they were believers, and they said they were saved, yet they would not share that portion of eternal life with their own children." Now, eternal means always. So if you have it, you're going to share it. If you don't have it, you don't share it. So if they had it themselves, they would have shared it with those they wanted to have it also. And apparently they didn't even want their own children to have eternal life because they wouldn't share what they knew. Okay? That means that they were never saved, and what they had was not eternal life, or they would have imparted that eternal knowledge of that eternal life to their own children, but all they had was religion. And I'm sorry, but I've been around the block long enough to know that a lot of people in this world have religion. The Muslims have religion. The Hindus have religion. All right? The Taoists have religion. And so do the so-called Christians have religion. And the Pharisees and Sadducees that condemned the Word of God expressed, they had religion. So that is what too many people mistake for eternal life. And it is only religion, and it is only a brand of lifestyle. Your lifestyle is a Muslim. Your lifestyle is a Christian. Your lifestyle is a Hindu. But are you saved? Now, Ephesians 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the opinions, values, and judgments of God, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of His glory, this doxa, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Now, from the Daniel 70 weeks, he said, it's laying back in that condition, and and that only shows that this is just a period of time. Can't you see? God don't have things out of cater. He's just letting it run like that for a little time. And I truly believe that that thing was done. And at this last days is when God is going to reveal these secrets to the church. He hasn't done it before. The reason He hasn't done it is to keep the church watching and praying all the time, not knowing when it's coming. But you remember in Daniel 12, He said, "The wise shall understand in the last days." It's been given to Him. The spirit of wisdom does come into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church in and revealing what day that we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel, now there's one angel to one prophet, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great, deep, secret things. Do you understand it now? So God has come down with a shout, which is a message, and that is not only to impart his wisdom, but also to manifest his great knowledge of himself in and to make it known through revealing himself to us in a supernatural way that he is here. So he says, from why are we not a denomination? Now, you stop and find that all through these church ages here, pulling up, the Holy Spirit speaking out, those gifts would be working in the last days. Now we've got gifts of healing working. Oh, it's good. It's really, it's going good. Well, brother, there's other gifts. That's just one of them. That's just a little minor thing. But here is a far greater gift right here, which would be the best, the gift of the Holy Ghost of wisdom to put the church of, to put the Word of God together and show the church where we're standing, than just to get somebody healed. We all want to be well, but I'd rather have my soul well than my body well. Oh my. Here the Holy Spirit, speaking through John on Patmos, said, here's to the wisdom. Let him listen to this. Now we're getting a picture drawn out. In other words, John said, you know, to he that has wisdom, this is what I'm saying. Most people don't have wisdom, so most people don't know what he's saying. From question and answer, Brother Brown said, now in there, that subconsciously, that's where your mind. Now, Jesus said, except a man be born again. Now, that's not what I wanted. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, you couldn't see the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. Some standing there or here will not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God coming in power. He said, then the kingdom of God, the Bible said, is within you. It's within you, the Holy Spirit, and you can't see that with your eyes. So see means to understand. Have you ever looked at anything right, looked at it, looking right at it? Well, and you say, I just don't see it. See, I just don't see it. You mean you don't understand it. See, you don't understand it. To see is to understand, but with your eyes you look at anything. But with what's inside of you, you understand with, you see with that, see, with the eyes of God, you hear. Well, the same with hearing, all right? He said they hear, but they don't understand. So you can listen to tapes, you can listen to a dozen tapes a day and think that you're getting it, but if it's not revealed to you what he's saying, and in order to have it revealed to you, first of all, it's got to come to your intellectual understanding. Then it's God anoints that. But if you're listening to listen and not listening to learn, like in school, if you're there to hear what he says, the teacher says, but you're not there to learn what the teacher's saying, then you have no clue. That's why it's best to have, if you want to get ahead in school, then after the class, take the last 5 minutes before you have to go to your next class and say, okay, you said this, this, and this today. Can you please, does that mean this, this, and this? And if he says yes, you got it. Then you know, then you have learned. But otherwise, if he says this, this, and this, and you walk out of class and you don't know what he's talking about, you haven't learned a thing. You might as well, I won't say it because then some kids will maybe do it. So, all right. So from Pergamian church age, he said, God has never placed his church in the hands of an elected leadership which moves with political mindedness. He has placed his church in the care of God-ordained, spirit-filled, word-living men who lead the people through feeding them the word. He has not separated the people into classes so that the masses are led by a holy priesthood. It is true that the leadership must be holy, but then must the whole congregation. And from Smyrnian church age, he said, in every age we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, and then from that messenger there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Now remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. So in 1 Corinthians 4:14-13, and I think it's interesting because he says, remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. You see, if you are going to repeat it, I mean, if you're going to say it, you have to repeat what he said. Then you have to understand what he said so that you can say it. But if you just play it and don't learn it, you have nothing. It's not going to do you a bit of good other than you're fulfilling a religious duty to play a tape. Okay? So in 1 Corinthians 14:37, we read, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, here it is. Paul wrote it, and if the people only passed along what Paul wrote, they wouldn't get it. But he says, only say what I wrote. Only say what I said. Only say what's written, okay? You understand where I'm going at here?
Yeah.
All right, good. What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? They add here or take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure and the revival dies down. That's why they can have two souls and seven thunders and all these I won't even say they're ungodly, because they are part of the truth. But they're misleading the people into an ism, all right? How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by the way of his messengers and then say what has been given them to say to the churches. He didn't say, play it again. He said, say it. Hear it and then say it. Because when you hear it, then you have to think in your mind, okay, I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it in words which maybe people will understand, so I'll say it. So I've got to think it and go through the gyrations in my mind, my own mind, what he said, then I can say it again, okay? Now, we were talking about the intellectual or the literalist. That's the guy who claims to believe all the word literally, but as I said last week, they don't believe literally. Literally, maybe, but not, and that's only intellectual. In other words, not literally, but literal, but literarily, okay? They're close in words, but you understand the difference, okay? To them, it's just literature only. The written word, so long as it stays a historical word, so long as it stays as a written word only, and so long as it stays and not manifested, then they believe it literally and literarily. Therefore, they do not truly take the Bible literally, but as literature. They believe it literarily only. For as soon as it is interpreted by God and manifested to man to show the correct interpretation, that is when they reject it and they killed the manifested Son of God, or actually the manifestation of the living God in his Son. All right. And these people are really legalists. They turn to the law, for that is what they did in the first church age, and so that is what they will do in the last church age. So when they turned to the law, they were no different than the Jews who killed Messiah. They have to go that way, for Isaiah 28 tells us, all the tables are covered with vomit, and there is not a spot without filth. Now, what is vomit? It's the food of another day, regurgitated with your own acids, and then spewed out of your own mouth. So who is it he's trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? To children weaned from their milk, to those just taken from the breast. Notice that it's children, babes, such as will learn. Whose children? God's seed. And Brother Branham said in his sermon, Shalom, the elected seed knows it, always through the age, that they know it. But the majority of people won't receive the word. The Bible declares many more of the children of the harlot than she which has a husband. She which has a husband is called a bride. And John 1:10 says, He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, or exousia, an ability to learn, to become the sons of God. You see, you didn't know when you first found out you're born again, you didn't know how to be a son. And so you had to learn to be a son, right? You had to learn to become a son. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but has everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought or had their source in God. And so then Isaiah 28:10 says, For it is do and do, rule on rule, a little here, a little there, very well then, with foreign lips and a strange tongues, God will speak to his people, to whom he said, This is the resting place, let the weary rest, and this is the place of repose, but they would not listen. So then the word of the Lord to them will become, do and do, rule on rule, a little here, a little there, so they will fall backwards and be injured. It's snared and captured. So in other words, they are legalists. They become legalists, okay? Now, one brother I know was talking to a pastor, and this man had a list of 65 things you must do to be in the bride. That's called legalism. Another pastor I know, because I heard it, he had a countdown, 10, 9, 8, and if you didn't get to the pulpit and repent, by the time you got to 1, you were lost. Where's that in the Bible? You know, that's just a bunch of fanaticism, all right? Just a Pentecostal, it's like selling cars. You know, you got many methods to do it. Isaiah 28:12, to whom he said, This is the resting place, let the weary rest, and this is the place of repose, but they would not listen. So then the word of the Lord to them will become, now it didn't say they won't hear, but they just won't listen. There's a difference. So then the word of the Lord to them will become, do and do, rule and rule, a little here, a little there, so that they will go and fall backward, be injured and snared and captured. In other words, you come to this message and you either become a legalist or you become revelated, okay? And there's a difference between the two. But they both have the same word. The one sees it as a revelation, another sees it as a legalism. Now he said, come unto me. So you've got to enter his presence to get this rest. Come unto me and then learn of me, and that will bring rest. There you are, enter his presence, and then he teaches you. In Isaiah 29:1-24, the NIV says, The Lord Almighty will come with a thunder and earthquake and great noise, with a windstorm and tempest and flames of devouring fire. Then the hordes of all the nations that fight against Ariel, that's Israel, that attack her, enter fortresses and besiege her, will be as it is with a dream, with a night vision. As when a hungry man dreams that he's eating, but he wakens and his hunger remains. As when a thirsty man dreams that he's drinking, but he wakens faint, with his thirst unquenched. So will it be with the hordes of all the nations that fight against Mount Zion. And Brother Brown said, whenever Mount Zion is referred to, he said it refers to the bride. Be stunned and amazed, blind yourselves, and be sightless. Be drunk, but not from wine, stagger, but not from beer. The Lord has brought over you a deep sleep. He has sealed your eyes, the prophets. He has covered your heads, the seers. This whole vision is nothing but words sealed in a scroll. And if you give the scroll to someone who can read and say to him, read this, please, he will answer, I can't, it's sealed. Or if you give the scroll to someone who cannot read and say, read this, please, he will answer, I don't know how to read. The Lord says, these people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules by men. In other words, they're Nicolaitans. Therefore, once more, I will astonish these people with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Who will know? You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like clay. Shall what is formed say to him that it formed it? Why did he make me thus? Can the pot say to the potter, he knows nothing? In the very short time will not Lebanon be turned into a fertile field, and the fertile field seem like a forest. Now, notice this prophecy. He speaks of Lebanon, so what Lebanon are we talking about? Lebanon, the country, has never fulfilled this yet. The fields, are they missionary fields, become fertile fields? I'm not a prophet, so I don't know. But in that day, the deaf will hear the words of the scroll. Laodicea is deaf, yet the scrolls were revealed in this hour. And out of the gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. Again, is he speaking of Laodicea? They are both deaf and blind. Once more, the humble will rejoice in the Lord. The needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The ruthless will vanish. The mockers will disappear. And all who have an eye for evil will be cut down. Those with a word make a man out to be guilty, who ensnares the defender in court, and with false testimony deprive the innocent of justice. Therefore, this is what the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, says to the house of Jacob: No longer will Jacob be ashamed. No longer will their faces grow pale when they see among them their children, the work of their hands. They will keep my holy name. They will acknowledge the holiness of the Holy One of Jacob and will stand in awe of God of Israel. Those who are wayward in spirit will gain understanding, and those who complain will accept instruction. So notice that they are shown what the rest is and even told where to get it, but they refuse it. And I'll show you this in Scripture. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So where's our rest come from? He said, I. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am a meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now, Brother Brown quoted what Jesus said about entering into rest from the Patmos vision. He said, Now, we receive this rest, or continuing Sabbath, is at the invitation of Jesus. He said in Matthew 11:20-29, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall find rest. He didn't say play a tape. He said learn what's on that tape. Okay, learn of me, and ye shall find rest. Or keeping the Sabbath, not a day, but eternal life Sabbath unto your souls. No matter how long you have been laboring under your load of sin, whether it is 10 years, 30 years, or 50 years, or longer, come with your tired, weary life, and you will find his rest, the true Sabbath. Jesus will give you rest. Now, exactly what is that rest that Jesus gives? In Matthew 28:8-12 says, For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand the doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept and line upon line, and little here, little there. for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. So is this speaking of Pentecost? To whom he said, this is rest, Sabbath, wherein ye may cause the weary to rest, or keeping of the Sabbath. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now here it is prophesied right here in Isaiah. And it came to pass 700 years later at Pentecost, when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, exactly as it said that they would be. This is the true Sabbath that was promised. Thus, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they ceased from their worldly works, their worldly doings, their evil ways. The Holy Ghost took charge of their lives. They entered into this rest, and there is your rest. That is your Sabbath. It is not a day nor a year, but the eternity of being filled and blessed in the Holy Spirit is your ceasing and God doing it. It is God in you, willing and doing of his good pleasure. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this word today. And help us, Lord, to enter into that rest. Help us to consider ourselves babes, such as would learn. Because most babes, if they don't learn, they stay a babe and they're retarded. But Lord, we know that most children, they do their most learning between 1 and 3 years old. And then from 3 to 10, they perfect what they've learned already, and they begin to put sentences together in a way which is intellectual or intelligent, and they begin to see things in an intelligent way. But Lord, they do most of their learning up to 3. So Father, they are babes, and we are your babes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.